Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
25 years. Come on, man. God's good, isn't he? Last week was a lot of fun. If you were here, we just celebrated what God's done over 25 years. And today I want to talk to you about something that is actually as important as the first service that we ever had here. In fact, I would tell you that this is probably the second most important service in our history as it pertains to what God's called us to do as a church. And as Pastor Steve mentioned, I heard him abusing me. I heard that. I caught that. And he mentioned about Michelle being young, and he mentioned about certain states. By the way, he's from Mississippi, where it's absolutely legal to marry your sister. But we won't go there with Steve Moore. But they dated the family reunion, but we're going to leave that alone today. Did I say that out loud in church? I'm sorry. Just if you're from Mississippi, you're from the part Steve Moore's not from. It's okay. But really, long before this church even began, God birthed an understanding of his love in my heart and Michelle's in my heart. And that's why we say over and over again that this church exists to help all people. And when I say all people, I mean all people, no matter what their issues are, no matter what they're dealing with, no matter if they love God, listen, or if they hate him. This church exists for all people, absolutely all people. We want to help them to realize the unconditional love of God. Because when you understand who God is, it changes everything. In fact, not next weekend, but the following weekend, I'm going to start a series called Good Father. And I want to talk to you about who he is. You can't walk with a God you don't know. That's why we tell you over and over again, four things you have to have in your life. You have to, and that's why this church exists, is to help you know God. That's first. And most people, it's one thing to come to know Jesus and to know God by receiving Christ, but many people don't know who God is. They accuse him of hideous crimes and things that they think he does that he doesn't do. And we're going to talk to you about what it really means to know a good father. You need to know God. You need to find freedom in your life. You need to get past your past. Every one of us have a past that wants to hold us back from our future, that it literally wants to squeeze us into a life that we're not meant to live. And you can never get to a future if you're trapped in your past. And in this church, the primary way that you're going to have an ongoing way, an interaction with people, to be able to truly find freedom is in the context of small groups. So I hope you're taking steps to lead and to be in small groups. I'm telling you, Jesus died to make you free, so don't live bound. And you don't have to do it. You don't have to hide. You don't have to pretend. The third thing is that you, to discover purpose. The two greatest days of your life, the day you're born and then the day you find out why. The Our Church Experience, which begins the first weekend of every month, it's designed to take you into the scripture, into a plan, into a process, not just to expose you what it means to be a part of Victory and all that's good and finding your place in a local church. Every Christian should do that. But it will help you discover your purpose. For most people live and die and never find out why they're here. And it doesn't matter how successful you are, how much money you make, how much money you have in the bank, how much accolades you get, or how difficult your life is. Until you discover your purpose, you will live a half life. And lastly, you are called to make an impact. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. What has God called us to do in this next season of a church to make an impact? And it's a pretty remarkable calling. It existed from the day this church started. And I want to just take you on just a bit of a tiny little journey today. And that's why how many of you were involved in Serve Day yesterday? Went out and served our community. It was a marvelous time. Come on, we went out and we were all over the region. I was in Pittsburgh with there were probably 15 or so of us from Victory there, along with people from other places. And we went into the homeless areas in downtown Pittsburgh and we cleaned out those areas so that they could have a place that was just more suitable. And I didn't quite understand that until when you saw it was cleaned up. And when I tell you, we literally filled up a dumpster that you would use on a construction site. And we're able to serve those wonderful people. And we'll be doing a serve day every year. Next year we'll be in the middle of the summer. And I encourage every one of you to get involved. We'll talk about that coming up. And one of the things I want you to know is that the church is better. In fact, we are made to do better outside of these walls than in these walls. And that's one of the things that we are so focused on is getting outside of the walls of this church. Next year, I'll let you know how we're going to do it. But in January, next year, I'll tell you how we'll do it in January. But next year, we are going to actually double our giving that we do outside of this church as a church. We give a lot of money. So why would you do that as a church? Because listen, God's called us to be his hands and feet. And every Christian is made to live to make an impact. That's why when we talked about the Christmas show, how many of you last year when I said, if you bring someone to the Christmas show, you will not be disappointed. Did I tell you the truth? Come on, man. Was it incredible? I mean this sincerely. You could go to the Benedum and pay money and you will not experience much more than you're getting here for free, if that good. And so we're encouraging every one of you to bring people to the Christmas show and make it a priority in your life. And we're trusting God over those 2 weekends and I think 10 performances. And actually, they're going to even tweak it a little bit and make it better this year than it was last year. I thought it was pretty good last year. But we're believing God to see 20,000 people over those 2 weekends. Why? Because in the middle of that program, when everybody's having a great time and it's an amazing performance and an experience, I'm going to come out and take about 5 to 7 minutes, and I'm going to give people an opportunity to go to heaven, to celebrate a Savior by receiving him. Come on, man. That's what Christmas is about. What would it look like if at every Christmas, 5,000 people gave their lives to Jesus here at Victory? What would that feel like? That's what you call revival. So how's that going to happen? You're going to do just what you did last year. You are going to fill this place up. You're going to go online and get tickets so we don't have services where we literally couldn't fit people in the room. And it's all free. Everyone say free.
Free.
Let me leave it with this. It is the easiest thing in the world to invite somebody to something that's incredible and free. It's an incredible thing. So take full advantage of that. But before we go into the future, I just want to take you just a minute back to our past. When God spoke to Michelle and I in 1988, 30 years ago, literally, we were driving through Cranberry Township on our way to speak at a church. And we were just driving along, minding our own business, talking. And when we drove down Freedom Road over here on the other side of Cranberry, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God filled the vehicle. And I could tell you just a handful of experiences in my life that were like this, but it wasn't like just an impression. It was like God was talking to us, and it happened simultaneously. And we both knew immediately without saying a word to each other until we discussed it, that here's literally what God spoke to our heart at the same time out of nowhere. You will start a church here someday. Now, Michelle was wise and said, well, you know, let's pray about that. As most men, we know the answer before anyone asks a question. I said, well, here's what that means. Isn't that stupid? Anybody ever bite off a piece of stupid and chew hard? I said, Michelle, you know I'm not called to pastor a church. Goodness sakes, I wouldn't know what I was doing. That means somebody else will be called to pastor. And we'll come and we'll help them. We'll know that it's God's will that we'll stop traveling and speaking in churches and we'll come serve that church and serve that pastor. I'll get a job if necessary, do whatever we need to do to come up and help plant that church. Well, years went by and no one ever did it. And we were living in Africa and I said, we were praying. I said, Lord, you know that Cranberry thing? We can't help someone who won't obey your voice. I'm serious. That's what we're praying. We're like, Lord, what do you want us to do? We can't, because we love living in Africa and we're like, should we stay here? And that's when God really dealt with our hearts. He said, I've called you to do it. And I remember, I'm thinking, me? Us? Are you kidding? Us? And he said, well, how did you start? We just started. He said, how did you know how to do it? We didn't. And I'm going to show you today that those beginning days, in that first service of 33 people, we said and spoke out by faith, everything you're seeing right now. And 33 people looked back at us for the most part and said, you are out of your mind. We're not even coming back next week, let alone for what you're talking about. Galatians 1 tells us this, and I want to talk to you about a vision from the heart of God that transcends my life in this generation. Paul said these words. He said, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel that I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it by men. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Just like as the Apostle Paul said, the message he was given didn't come out of the heart of man. This church didn't come out of somebody who had just a plan to start a church. This wasn't a church split, thank God, that started this. It wasn't even a denomination being strategic and trying to plant a church in a growing area. It happened because the Spirit of God came into a vehicle of 2 kids driving along. And he said, I want you to do something for me. And what I want to help you to understand is this, is that when you follow God, the last thing you're going to feel is qualified to do the impossible. If all you do with your life is what's practical and possible, you will live a half life. But you remember this, something God spoke to my heart just weeks ago, that to me, the impossible is practical. And there was a turning point in our ministry when we were building our very first building over on Freedom Road. And it's changed the way I lead and the way I pastor dramatically. And at that point, we were building a building, our first building. And had engaged an architect. And I tease a lot about that. I know we have architects here. You guys do great work. Just this guy didn't. And so I'm not holding you against that. I've gone through counseling. I'm getting by this right now, okay? And we asked him to design a building to a $700,000 number. Well, the bids came back at $1.4 million. How many of you know it's a bad thing when you're 100% off? Can I tell you a secret? We didn't know where we were getting $700,000. And now it's $1.4 million. And I remember saying to him, that was the low bid. I said, that's 100% off. He said, well, you know, it was just an estimate, the $700,000. And I'm twitching. And I'm thinking, Jesus, I don't want to go to prison. Let me out of this meeting. This is crazy. Now, I did something that often we call prayer. It wasn't prayer. It was just worry in the name of Jesus. Anybody ever worry in the name of Jesus? Am I the only honest one in the house of Jesus? Come on, somebody. Say amen. Hallelujah. Man, I'd walk the floor, and here's what I would do. Jesus. I told you I don't know what I'm doing. Why did you ask me to die? Lord, it's $1.4 million. Lord, we didn't have 700,000. We're off by 100. Oh God. Go, Jesus. Oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. That's not prayer. That's worry in God's name, you know, And again, I had an experience that was life-changing for me. In the middle of me lamenting about money, the Holy Spirit spoke something to my heart that changed everything in the way that I would ever do ministry again. And he spoke to my heart, and it was as real as if, it wasn't audible, but I could tell you it was as real as if a conversation was happening inside me. And it was authoritative, and I knew where it came from because I knew where I was standing and what I was feeling. And here's the words he spoke to my heart. He said, don't ever talk to me about money again. I didn't die for money. I died for people. If you knew how much I love people, this money would mean nothing to you. And something changed in my heart because I realized that I was talking to God about money. What is money to God that comes and goes on an earth he created? And he spoke to my heart. He said, son, don't talk to me about money. I did not die for money. If you knew the price I paid for human beings, you would laugh at $1.4 million. It's nothing to me. You do what I've told you to do. You step where I've told you to step. You let me be God. You just be the errand boy. And to this day, I've never prayed about money again. That doesn't mean we don't process money well. Listen, when we let go of a dollar bill in this church, George Washington's crying. We squeeze him, okay? We're very wise with money. But I've never again the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil? And most people think the love of money is stealing or being covetous or trying to get ahead of somebody at someone's expense. The love of money is when you put it above God for anything. And I made a decision that day. I would love the price that was paid on a cross more than I'd ever count the cost of money. And I never again asked. Now, we find out what it costs. We're wise. And we're very, 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 very good stewards of the resources entrusted to us. But when it comes to the direction of God, heaven never asks what it cost. Because the answer in heaven, when you say, what does it cost? He will say, the blood of my son is what it cost. That's what governs my life as a pastor. And it always will. This is our anniversary, so I get to be really honest. That hasn't always made people happy. It really hasn't. People get up, well, why do you spend that? Listen, in a few short years, I'm 58. I don't get to live here forever. I long to stand before God, having honored the blood and sacrifice of the Savior more than a dollar bill, because he died for the world, and money means nothing to him. You mean everything to him. People, the sheep of his pasture, they mean everything. And it was a turning point for me. Psalms 18 says this, and this has been such a meaningful scripture to me for these years. He, God, makes my feet like the hind's feet of a deer. And he, God, sets and establishes me upon my high places. Say out loud, my high places. When Michelle and I lived in South Africa, we lived in a town called Rustenburg, north of Johannesburg, and there was this stone, huge rock mountain behind us. It was stunningly beautiful. And there's a little deer, no bigger than a medium-sized dog. It's called a dykdik. And it's this beautiful little deer. And I have and they're hard to find, but they run on the rocks. And there's something about a deer's hind feet, the back feet, that if the front feet are secure, the hind feet never slip. And God said, I'm going to make your feet like the hind feet of a deer. But he didn't talk about a deer running through a field. He talked about a deer running on the rocks. I watched a dykdik run on the rocks of that mountain with the same ease that you would watch a deer run through a field. It was remarkable. On these precarious high places where it could have slipped and fallen to its death, it ran across those rocks just like a deer would run through a field. Now, why is that important? God said, I'm going to make your feet like the hind's feet of a dykdik. Not in the smooth places of life, but in the high places of life, where it's precarious, where it's dangerous. That's why most people never do anything that amounts to risk in trusting God, because they don't trust that he'll make your feet like the hind's feet of a deer. And though we didn't know what we were doing, and that is not an understatement, we have seen the faithfulness of God, and he has made our feet like the hind's feet of a deer. There are high places that he's called you to walk in your life. And here's the key. His feet are the front feet. And if I walk where he says go, then my feet will be secure like the hind's feet of a deer, not in the perfect meadow, but in the high places, in the precarious places of life. And God's called you to do something with your life. And I want to take you into our future as a church today. I want you to understand that Jesus laid down his deity and took up humanity. Your challenge and my challenge is to lay down your humanity and to take up your identity in Christ and your purpose in him. Jesus laid it all down and took upon a human body to sacrifice it for us. The struggle of every Christian is to lay down their humanity and trust God, to lay down what you've felt, what you've seen, what you've experienced, both good and bad, and never place it higher than the God that loves you. Now, the journey of faith to get here in these 25 years has been a remarkable journey, and most of you were not here for the beginning of it and for a lot of it. But I'm going to tell you this, that the next 25 years is going to make the amount of trust it was required to see this happen, the amount of grace from God, and the amount of people finding their place in the last 25 years to do what God's called us to do, it's going to pale by comparison. The next 25 years are an incredible thing that God's called this church to do. And this, again, I'll say to you, is the second most important service in our history. And that's why, as people will be listening to this later, those who are watching this online right now, listening to this on a podcast or recording later, as pertaining to the will of God for this church, this is the second most important service in our history. Because I'm about to lay out to you what I did for 33 people many years ago. And you're going to have the option that people had 33 years ago. Of either saying, God, what do you want from, what's my grace? What's my part? Or you can do like many people did that day and just said, no thanks. Some of those people are in heaven today. Some of them did follow God and they did amazing things for heaven. And you are the reward and the fruit of their life. And yet there are some, they're in heaven today. And they have to look back and think, I was called to be a part of something to change the world. And I let something else become my God. I want to talk to you today about the future. But let me qualify just for a minute. In the scripture, Samuel and Eli were in the temple. This is in the Old Testament. Eli was the high priest. And Samuel was a young man, and he was a servant to Eli. And Samuel went to sleep, and he heard a voice speak to him, Samuel. He assumed it was Eli. He got up, and he went to Eli, and he said, Sir, what is it? He said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Happened, two other times. Finally, Eli said, hey, listen, next time that voice calls you, just say, I'm here. I'll do whatever. What do you want from me? Because Eli knew God was speaking to him. And he went back and God spoke to Samuel and he gave him direction for the next generation. When I was reading that, this is probably, I guess a year ago, the Holy Spirit spoke so strongly to my heart. He said, I'm not going to give you the vision for the next generation. Just like I didn't tell Eli what to tell Samuel, I'm not going to give you the mission and vision for the next generation, but I will hold you accountable that you prepare them to hear my voice. And the steps we're about to take as a church, it's not about the specific vision of what the next generation will do, but it's about doing our part to establish the way. And it's an incredible privilege. Isaiah 54, verse 2 says this. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. Your descendants will inherit the nations and make desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear. You'll not be put to shame or ashamed. You'll neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. Can I tell you something about a God-sized vision that he calls us to collectively? It's never possible. It's never possible without his grace, ever. And when it's possible just by human endeavor, God's nowhere near it. I want to talk to you about a future that actually existed the first day this church began. Everything I'm about to tell you, we spoke in broad terms that very first day. We talked about that this would be a regional church that would impact the region of the Northeast, that it would touch, multiply thousands of people. I talked about this sanctuary that would someday be built. On the very first day, 25 years ago, we were just kids. And I'm telling you, everybody in the room except a handful of people who had actually prayed with us, you could feel it in the room. They were looking at me like, you are brain dead. Are you out of your mind? That's impossible. And yet, when he makes your feet like hinds feet, the impossible becomes practical. And I want to take you on a journey today into the future. Some of us like me and some of us a little older, we're going to plant some vineyards. We may never drink the wine, but we're still called to do the planting. And some of you in this room, God's going to raise you up. Some of you are sitting here minding your own business like we were driving in that car. And the God of heaven is going to tap you on the shoulder, on the heart, and say, I require this of you. Now follow me. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. And you will give anything when you're in heaven to have followed that prompting. And that's my desire today, is to show you clearly tomorrow, as I did 25 years ago, of something God spoke to us 30 years ago. One of the things that I wanted to announce to you today that we're going to do that we said, actually I've said in the past we would not do, and there was an ethical reason, which a couple pastors locally, very prominent pastors, pulled me aside and said, John, that's not an ethical reason why you shouldn't do this thing. And they really talked to me, and Michelle's been talking to me about it for years. How many of you know it's good to listen to your wife? But I felt like if something's unethical, I don't even have to consider it, but here's what it is. We are going to expand Victory Family Church into campuses around the city of Pittsburgh. That's our next step. That we are going to now take one church in multiple locations. And we already know where the first one is. I'll announce that to you in January. And next September, we're going to launch the first campus. And it will be just like Victory. In fact, the messages that are here will be there. They'll have a screen. I'll be doing the speaking, but everything else will be live, the worship. Everything you see here at this church and the way we do church will be done there. It will be identical. And we are going to plant campuses around the city of Pittsburgh in the region as God puts those places in our heart. And we're going to see these campuses now surround the city as we are now going to multiply Victory Family Church in our region. And so the very first step we're taking is that we are going to now launch campuses. And the first one launches next September. And some of you don't, I'm telling you, it's incredible. And, you know, some of you sitting here right now, something might just have jumped in your heart like, I think God's going to have me to do something in that area. You're probably right. Sometimes words just seem to be so inadequate. When you've experienced God for 25 years, when he's made your inadequate life and your inadequate feelings, when he's made your feet like the hind feet of a deer, and every step you took in inadequacy and without proper understanding and just feeling like, oh God, can't somebody else do this that knows what they're doing? and you take a step into this unknown. You take a step and your feet are planted firmly like the feet of a deer, the hind feet of a deer, and not on the bottom of the soil that's flat, but on the high places and the rocky places. For 25 years, Michelle and I have watched God do that. And I know that whether, I don't care, listen, I mean this sincerely. God, it's fine. It's good to be prosperous. It's good to be successful. If you've never lived that life, you will live and die and never live. I don't care how happy you think you might be by making whatever. And I can tell you this, the wealthier people are, the more they'll tell you that's not the answer. And I know some of y'all are thinking, let me find out and I'll give my testimony. But you were made to live something greater than your existence. You were made to live greater than your inadequacies and your failings. God wants to make your feet like the hind feet of a deer. And as we begin to speak of some of these things, God's going to tap some of you on the shoulder in a very significant way. There is a Macedonian call upon this church, and I use that from the context of Scripture. Let me read the one that Paul had in Acts 16, verse 9, says this. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once, ready to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So where does a call like this come from? From the heart of God. And can I tell you, before God ever dealt with Michelle and I, there was a prayer group that was meeting here around Cranberry praying for this. 5-6 years into this church, this precious older lady, she's in heaven now. She said, you know, we've been praying, a prayer group. What's happening in your church, we've been praying for years. We're just one part of the journey. It's one kingdom, one body of believers. That's why I tell you we're an intergenerational church. We need every generation in this church. Before God ever dealt with us, there have been people praying. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to see a thread woven through this that's going to be so supernatural. I just hope you don't miss your part of that thread. I just hope you don't get caught up in your life and your problems and your issues and your pleasure and miss out on why you were put on the earth. You are made for God's pleasure. You are made for God's purpose. And outside of his pleasure and purpose, you will never, listen to me, you will never live a life with any internal peace, ever. And it's not a threat, it's a fact. And it's actually just, it's a journey into living the most fulfilled life you've ever imagined to live when the God of heaven makes your feet like hind's feet. The second part of that journey is that we are going to plant in the Northeast. Everyone say the Northeast. We're going to plant 120 churches in the Northeast. Now you might say, well, what's that? I don't understand. What's it mean to plant a church? Let me tell you what people religiously say in the U.S. about the Northeast. It's a graveyard for churches. They don't work in the Northeast. They'll never grow. But we are going to see 120 life-giving churches planted in the Northeast. And the minute we began to speak that out of our heart, just internally, privately, God began to open supernatural doors just like that. Can I tell you something about the grace of God? God's grace is his enablement for you to live the life you were meant to live. And what most of us have learned to do is we have issues, problems, trouble. Anybody have any issue, problems, trouble? Am I the only person here with that? I'll try this side of the church that's honest. Does anybody have any issues, problems, or trouble? Think of God's grace like just a shaft of rain coming out of heaven. What we try to do is to drag that rain or that resource to God, help me, and we try to drag it over to where we are. And Lord, if you'll just come over here and water me, I'll be able to obey you. And it's just the opposite. You walk into that grace, and when you do, your feet become like the hind feet of a deer. And when you take those steps, heaven opens. We literally barely got it out of our mouth and began to speak it internally. No one knew. And the first connection came from Maine. You don't get much more Northeast than Maine. Listen, there are places in the Northeast that are as irreligious and as set apart from God as Europe. And Pastor Steve and Dana were in Maine last week, meeting with a pastor there. The pastor's a great church in Charleston, Maine. And The first church through this connection is already being launched, and we haven't even gotten started. In Maine, the first one is already getting launched, and it looks like there might be another one. And I'll let you know when they finally get launched, and I'll let you know every one of them when they come. Two churches already looking like, one for sure, maybe a second one, already in Maine, and we haven't had the chance to even tell you yet. I'm telling you, we've stepped into something where God himself is breathing, and you don't wait for the understanding. See, people say, well, how are you going to do all this? Never worry about the how. Why, if, how many of y'all know if you're hanging out with a person that's an expert in computers and fixing them, I don't have to wonder how to fix a computer. It's like, hey, my computer's broken, fix it. And they go, and they go, it's fixed. But I don't have to understand it. I'm not the how guy. I'm the why guy. Why do you want, God, what's the reason behind this? And I'll obey you. And we're seeing, and also December 5th, the most prolific church planting organization in America. It's called ARC, Association of Related Churches. They in the last, I think, decade, they've planted over 500 churches. It's incredible what they're doing. They're coming up here and they want to connect to this purpose. And it's supernatural. I'm telling you, divine connections, and God is bringing people together. This is a remarkable thing that he's called us to be a part of. And I believe these 120 churches, they themselves will plant churches. I'm telling you, listen to me, please. I'm talking to you about a move of God where culture is influenced, people's lives are changed, broken people are made whole all throughout the Northeast in this part of the world. You understand that in the city of Atlanta, there are more, quote, I hate the term, mega churches in the city surroundings of Atlanta than the entirety of the Northeast. This has been a graveyard, people say, for the move of God. Those days are gone. I don't believe it. I don't accept it. I don't believe that God can't move where the weather's crappy. I believe God can move. How about you? He can do great things. Now, for some of you sitting here today, you're thinking, he's out of his mind. That's what they said 25 years ago. My question is, will you get out of your mind? Are you going to live in this trap of your brain all your life, limited by what you think, you think, you think, you think? Or rather to yield to the one who will make your feet like the hind seat of a deer, not on the bottom soil, but on the high places and the rocks of life. Not just to do a purpose for him, but in every area of your life, every precarious area of your life, generational issues, family of origin issues, whatever it may be, he will make your feet like the hind's feet. God's grace doesn't just show up for you to do something in cooperation with him to bless other people. His grace is not this singular thing. It sweeps over every part of your life. If I get under the rain, all of me gets wet. Every corner of your life will be covered with the grace of God. And you can fight your whole life on your own, or you can get into the middle of the grace of Almighty God, which is divine empowerment to do what you can never do without him. And he'll take you places you never dreamed possible. And I'm not talking to you about theory. Theory is a conclusion based upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. I'm talking to you about I've experienced God. People say, well, I want to argue with you. You can't argue with a person with an experience. You can argue with theory, not experience. I have seen my God show up in the land of the living. I've seen him show up in the darkest places of my life. And he is faithful. He's a faithful father. And he's faithful to you. And I want you to live in the heartbeat of that grace. And we are going to see amazing things happen and his hands upon your life to help bring it to pass. And also church revitalization. You've heard me talk for quite a while, I think 6 years now into it or so, of 300 churches that we are called in the Northeast to help revitalize. Do you want to know why they need revitalization? Because they started in the fire and they ended up in the smoke. They don't know how, the leaders don't know how to navigate how to make the church of Jesus Christ what it's meant to be. It ends up being an inside-minded club. And we have seen tremendous impact. There's over 90 churches already involved with us in the revitalization effort in the Northeast that we're serving and helping. It's a remarkable thing that God's doing. And every one of us in this place get to be a part of it. You know, sometimes God will put something in your heart from a deficit that you've experienced. 25 years ago when this church started, there was a move of God that where churches were being planted, non-denominational churches all over America, literally by the thousands and thousands. In the last 40 years, and there was about a 10, 15 year window, churches were being planted everywhere. I mean, in a way that we hadn't seen in America, maybe ever. And one of the things that lacked for people like me is I had no one to talk to. I had no one to help me. Now, by the grace of God, I fell into some relationships where people helped me. But that's not good enough. That wouldn't be good enough if it were my kid. If it's your child, you're not good enough just to say, well, you know what? I know you've got that lump on your back, but let's just do our best with it. You're going to be like, I want to get somebody who really knows what that thing might be. And what we're going to see, and already it's happening, is not just here at Victory, but throughout the Northeast, I want to see the day, and I don't mean in 20 years, where a pastor is not far, 2 to 3 hour drive from a place where he can learn the three things that we're called to help pastors do. And that's how to make their church double by reaching people for Jesus. Double their attendance by being a church that is about reaching people for Jesus. To teach them how to take their mission and put a process to it. And then help teach them how to make a footprint in their community to be relevant where they are. Do you know if you can teach a pastor those simple three things and they can buy into that's really the reason Jesus sent us in the earth, that those 300 churches now can become life-giving churches again. Now imagine 300 life-giving churches, 120 churches planted, those 300 and 120 multiplying. You know what that's called? It's called a move of God. And we get to be a part of it. We're not the only part of it. There's going to be many, many people that God's called in different movements and organizations joining together and networks joining with networks. But I'm so honored to get to be a part of it. And you are called to be a part of it. Lastly, the next generation. Yesterday, I was at Serve Day down, where we're cleaning up the places where the homeless stay. And there was a young man working there with us from Victory. His name's Ryan. And I said, well, you know, are you out of high school? He said, no, I'm a senior in high school. You know, he told me his story. He said, you know, 4 months ago, Pastor John, I was just, and he kind of went into some pretty serious things he had been through. He said, but man, God's gotten a hold of my heart. And he talked about how he serves here and how he's the student ministries here have just literally began to revitalize his life. He talked about, how about this for a senior in high school? He said, and made me realize, man, what amazing parents I've had. I've just kind of taken that for granted. That's a senior in high school. How many know a senior in high school says that? Jesus moved. I said, well, what are you going to do when you're done with high school? He didn't even hesitate. He said, I'm going to flip houses. And now that's a pretty cool thing to do, right? Because that's his bent. He said, but here's really my heart. Senior in high school. He said, you know, I want to build, you know, just duplex, triplex. I wanted to build quadplex. And I want to be, and I've done the numbers. How about this? I listen a lot to Dave Ramsey. Isn't that wonderful? I wish someone would have told me about Dave Ramsey when I was a senior. But anyway, he said, I've done the math. I can still turn a profit, and I can have one of those in every quadplex that's available that I can always make free for somebody who needs help, a single mom. And I want to see these where I can give people 1 year free rent, and that's my dream. He's a senior in high school. His dream isn't to go. I'm going to get wealthy land. I'm going to buy. His dream is to help people in need. He's in 12th. Great. I don't know if it'll turn out how he thinks it'll turn out, but I'll tell you one thing. If he goes to serve those that are underserved, God said, when you serve the poor, you lend to me and I will not be slack to repay. Watch what God does in his life. I'm thrilled to watch young men like that and women in this church take their next step and be a part of their journey. How about you? An incredible gift and privilege. That's why we have the Waymaker School of Ministry. To actually develop people with a call of ministry. Some of you students, some of you young men and women in this room right now have a call on your life and you don't know your next step. Maybe your next step is to get in that school. This coming fall, we're gonna look to actually launch an evening program for those of you that maybe life won't permit you to take this step away from your life. Listen to me, there are people in this room that you've been sitting on a calling of God to full-time ministry your whole life. And you just, I can't live this way anymore. And I'm telling you, there are steps that are available. Waymaker School of Ministry, both the day school and we'll ultimately have a night school where you're going to watch people come into the calling of their life. That's what we're called to do. But how God uses those churches and what they're called to do, I'll never put my hands on that. Other than the ones that are going to be our campuses, they'll reflect victory exactly. God is going to raise up a generation, and the generation that exists is going to serve them and pour wisdom into them. And we are going to continue to be an intergenerational church, and we're going to be part of a move of God in the Northeast that is going to shake this world. Listen, you say, well, you're exaggerating. No, no, look, come here. I'm talking to you about laboring with God, the one who made it. There's nothing that he looks at and he says, dog, I don't know if we can do that. He's God. He's just looking for people who will put their feet where his feet went, and he'll make your feet like hinds feet. What has he called you to do with your life? That's the burning question I have for you today. Where are you called? What are you called to do? And I'll close by telling you this. 25 years ago, there were people in that room that missed a chance. Some of them are in heaven, and some of them, their lives are so void of where God would have had them by now. And it's affected their family, their kids, even their grandkids. And it didn't have to be that way. You're sitting in this room maybe wondering, man, I would love to have had that shot to be a part of that first and do it, and then look at what God's done. You have your shot right now. It doesn't feel very spiritual at the moment, just like it didn't for them, because it's unseen. But that's why faith pleases God. Humility honors God that says, if God be true, let every man be a liar. And so let me tell you by faith what's going to happen. We are going to plant churches around the Pittsburgh region. We're going to launch one next fall to begin with. And we're going to get busy doing that. We're going to double our giving next year as a church outside of the walls of this church. We are going to see 120 churches planted in the Northeast. We're going to see the next generation trained and those with the call of God on their life to be equipped and trained to go into ministry. We are going to be intergenerational, and it is going to sweep the Northeast, and we are going to watch a move of God in these last days happen where we live in the region God's entrusted us to, along with others. We are going to revitalize 300 churches. It's coming to pass in the name of Jesus. And I want to pray for every one of us today that you would set one question on your heart today. One, where's my grace? What's my call? What do you have for me, God? Maybe some of you are legacy givers. You mark this down. Mark this down. You're going to see amounts of money given into this that will stagger you. So how could that? That's amazing. How are you going to make that happen? Oh, I'm not. He's going to make my feet like the hinds feet. I'm not a fundraiser. I'm a faith raiser. I'm going to do what he called me to do, as inadequate as we may feel. So how? I don't have to know the how. I have to know the God of the how. My question for you today, what has he called you to do? Do you really want to live your life like you're living it today? Just simply trying to fix your problems and get to the next day and the next whatever, the next vacation or the next what? Is that really, you were made for more than that. And I ask you today as we pray over the future to not just, oh Lord, I hope you do it. No, he's going to use you in some way. You mean someone else? No, you. No, I messed up. He knows that. He doesn't care. He chooses and uses people broken because everybody is broken. Everybody needs a Savior. What does he have for you? You find that place and you get under that grace and stop trying to drag God's provision to your mess. Bring your mess to his provision. It will change your life. And someday we can stand in heaven and see millions of people in heaven that came out of the Northeast that people gave up on because we said, let God be true and every man a liar. God is faithful. Amen? He's faithful. He's faithful. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every man and woman under the sound of my voice. Those here now, those watching online, those who will listen to this at some point. Holy Spirit, you are present everywhere all the time. Time doesn't exist with you. I pray that right now that the Holy Spirit of our God would whisper into their heart, I have something for you. I have something for you. I have something for you that isn't about where you are today, that isn't about your limits, isn't about what you think you should be or do. It isn't about what others have done to you or for you or against you. It's about what the God of creation has graced you to be and do with your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you want to acknowledge before God today, along with me, I'm going to lift my hand right with you, that I'm saying, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, use me. Make my feet like the feet of the hind feet of a deer. I will honor you and I will obey you no matter what it feels like. I will take the steps you've called me to take. I will step into the calling you've called me and given me. If you're here today and you say, please, Pastor John, along with, I want to be that person. I want to follow his plan for my life. As an act of faith before God, I'm lifting my hand. Would you just lift one hand to God and I'm going to pray for you. Keep your hand up. Now lift the other one up as an act of surrender with me and let's pray. Father, I pray for every person here with uplifted hands. We surrender to your call. We surrender to your purpose. We will not lift up and exalt our past, our fears, our sins that stain our lives. We'll lift nothing above a God who loved us so that he died for us. I say by faith that you have made our feet like the hind feet of a deer, and that we will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. And you will set and establish our feet upon the high places. We will navigate the impossibilities of life where the impossible becomes practical with you. Nothing is impossible with you. You laugh at impossibility and you love us in our weakness and our distress. And I pray that every one of us in this room will understand that we have a good, good Father. And we will not live half lives. And we will see this vision come to pass. And in watering others, we will water ourselves. And the grace that we step in for others will change even family of origin issues in our life that have existed for generations. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed. I speak that over every person here and who will ever hear this under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to make certain before we leave today that you've had the opportunity to give your life to Christ who gave his life for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've never given your life to Jesus and you want to know that he's the Lord of your life. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. I'm not going to single you out or embarrass you, I promise. This is so you can invite the living Savior into your life. If you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? There really is a heaven and there really is a hell. And Jesus really paid the price for you. And do you want to open your heart to the one who came and shed his blood on your behalf? So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd like to be included in that prayer, and we'll pray that prayer out loud together with you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Just lift your hand up right now. Do it right now. Lift it high so I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, and this includes those of you who have kept your heart far from God, open your heart to him today. Don't run from the one who ran to you and died for you. Don't run to an enemy that's trying to take your days. Run to the God who will establish your days. Pray it out loud where you hear it and invite this living Savior into your life and let him do the things he longs to do in and through you. Pray it where you hear it and we'll pray it with you. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sins. I open the door of my heart and life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.